take your Bibles, if you would, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. And it's good to be in the Lord's house this evening. I kind of joking around about those not helping. The reality is the Lord kind of prompted me in this direction over the last several days, more thinking about helping us, helping those who are going to be involved on Saturday. Appreciate all you do. And I think we probably failed to mention, just for your prayers, if nothing else, on Sunday, Brother Petrie alluded to it, the stuff that's up there for the kids will all be used for the bus ministry on Sunday. So that is a very big, big day. A lot of times young people will come for that have never been before. So please pray for all that. But there's a lot of things going on and a lot of people very busy, and a lot of reason to kind of just get going and doing things for the sake of doing things. Have you ever done that before? I know I have. You know, I like the ministry. Lord dealt with me about this kind of in our revival meeting. I like the ministry. I like doing the stuff. I like working on stuff, and I like it. Sometimes it's easy to forget why we're doing it, isn't it? I know it is for me. And so let's take a look at what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll read one verse, verse 31, I'm sorry. He says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Dear Lord, we thank you for the day that you've given us. Help us now as we open your word. Please take it and work it in our hearts, and challenge us where we need to be challenged, encourage where we need to be encouraged. Lord, whatever the work that is needs to be done, we pray that you do it. We thank you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in the passage, I a lot of times read more than one verse, but just kind of focus on that verse tonight. But to give you background here, context of the passage, this admonition is given as a directive for how the Christian life should be viewed and lived. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul deals with, in the second half of the chapter, the issue that they dealt with in Corinth of meat offered to idols. It's something that is kind of foreign to us, except the principles of it are very pertinent. It's how to deal with questionable things, certain questionable things. And so in Corinth, it was a very pagan place. Last week preached about Athens, and very pagan place as well. But part of their temple worship would involve sacrifice in these pagan temples. And they would take the meat that was offered there, and they would sell it, and they would make money off of it. And probably the best of the best probably came out of those temples. And there were people that were conflicted about whether Christians should eat that meat. And so he deals with that issue here, and he really deals with three realms and how it pertains to each realm. One was in the church. He talked about it in the context of the Lord's table. And he said, listen, keep it out. Doesn't need to be there. Doesn't, you know, no involvement there. He then deals with the realm of the person, the individual, and the decision and how to go about their day-to-day life when they dealt with this particular issue. And then he dealt with a third realm, and that's the realm of others. And basically, the principle here, and it's in other places in Romans and also another in 1 Corinthians as well, is this. Listen, as believers, you know, there's a lot of stuff we can do. We know we're not going to go to hell over, but we need to think about how it impacts other people. And we need to live not consumed with what I can do, but with how am I being a blessing to others, or am I being a stumbling block to someone else? And he deals with all of that about this issue of meats. He went so far to say, and I'll paraphrase this a little bit, not in here, but in another place, he said, if meat makes my brother to offend, I'm not going to eat any meat while the earth remaineth. Now, I don't know about you, but if I had an altar call right now and said, how many are willing to become vegetarians on the spot for the cause of the Lord, I know some college students who would transfer immediately. They wouldn't, they wouldn't be involved. But he made it pretty clear. What he was trying to say was that, listen, you know, even in something that I know I can do, it's not going to send me to hell. if it's offensive, it's going to cause my brother or sister in Christ to stumble, I'm going to stay away from it. And that whole kind of principle is embodied here in verse number 31, when he says, whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Now, this verse is kind of, in many ways, can be misunderstood, and many people have misused it over the years to kind of advocate for certain types of behavior. And the idea is, you know what, if you tag God's name to it, then it's okay. You know, it isn't a message about music, but the idea of, you know, we're talking about the Lord, so it must be okay. And there's other ways that it can kind of show itself. You know, well, if we put God's name on it, then it must be fine because of 1 Corinthians 10:31. But I want you to think for a minute, just a little bit of a silly illustration, and we can kind of show and see that this doesn't really fly, that doesn't really make sense. Now, we have Brother Bard read the missions letter. We have a missions program. We emphasize missions giving on Wednesday night. We have a missions conference, and we're encouraging people to give to missions. And we'd say that's a great thing, right? What if you read in the paper tomorrow that Brother Boyle was so burdened to give to missions that he went out to TD Bank and he demanded that they give him money. He robbed the bank. But on the headline in the paper, it said, but he did it for the glory of God. You know what? I'd still be without a job the next day because everybody would go, that's ridiculous. Well, we can't just tag God's name to stuff. That's not what he's saying here and say, okay, that sanctifies it. As a matter of fact, that violates some very serious principles of Scripture. We could go through Scripture and look at even in the Old Testament law about how when you mingle the unclean and the unclean defiles the clean, not vice versa. So in other words, you don't just tag God's name to whatever you want to tag it to and everything will be okay. What's he saying here? What he's saying here then is that we should do everything that we do in a way that is compatible with giving glory to God. In other words, the idea of giving glory to God in a way that we see fit doesn't make sense. If we're going to give glory to God in what we do, we've got to do it in a way that's compatible with giving Him glory. So you say, well, why can't you rob a bank and give glory to God for it and it'd be okay? Well, the Bible says some things about not stealing, doesn't it? And so it wouldn't be compatible for me to say that, and we know that's absurd. It wouldn't be compatible to do that because we know, you know, we can't give God glory by breaking His law, by outwardly and overtly committing sin. We can't do that. You know, if you were to gain an audience with the Queen of England and you were to go meet her, there's certain protocols and things that you follow in order to honor her in her position. There are things that, you know, as Americans, we might look at and think that's kind of funny and, you know, we don't understand and it doesn't really compute with us. But you don't just get to walk into her presence and, you know, give her a big old handshake and pat her on the back and no, you don't do that. Why? Because that is not, in their estimation, befitting of the office in which she holds and the throne upon which she sits. And in the same way, we don't just get to pick, you know, how we give glory to God, slap His name on it, and say it's okay. What he's saying here is that everything we do should be compatible with giving glory to God, and it should be in a manner that is consistent with giving glory to God. So I wanted to kind of dig into this verse a little bit this evening and make some application to us. First of all, when we see this verse here, 1 Corinthians 10:31, it speaks to several things. First of all, it speaks to the scope of our Christian service. You notice what he says? He says, whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do. He says, that's a pretty broad statement. He says, whether you eat or drink, now that's very basic. Everybody that's here, you made it to this point of your life because you ingested food and you drank something to keep you going. It's a needed part of life. And Paul here is saying, listen, it's not worth, in the context of the passage, it's not worth offending a brother or a sister in Christ if we can't, you know, that's not giving glory to God here. And so this is the most basic thing of life. And then he goes a step further. He says, or whatsoever you do. You know, Wednesday night crowd's always a neat crowd. You look out, you see people singing, and most of them, you know the songs, you know, because you've been to, if you're on Wednesday night, you're here on purpose. So you kind of maybe get this concept, but we need to remind ourselves that what this verse is reminding us of is the scope of our Christian service is not just contained in the walls of an auditorium. It doesn't just play out in a choir loft and in choir practice. It doesn't just play out in a Sunday school class that we might teach. It plays out in every single aspect of our lives. There's not an on and off switch to where we should give glory to God. There's not a place where we shouldn't be interested in God getting the glory out of what we do and how we live and how we act. There's no boundary to it. We don't walk out the door and punch the clock, in other words, on being a Christian and say, my shift is over, now it's your turn. No, it's a whatsoever we do sort of thing. Every part of our life should be touched by it. This is a fairly intimidating concept when you think about it. Why? Because it impacts everything that we do. Take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, hammer home this concept here from the scripture. He says, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 10, he says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, that according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Well, that's a kind of an intimidating thought, isn't it? God said one day you're going to stand before me and you're going to give an account, not of just how you thought, not just of what you believed, but you're going to give an account of everything that you did in your body. Now, we know that this isn't talking about, you know, earning our way to heaven or earning our way into heaven or our salvation. He's talking to saved people in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. But to those of us who are saved, he tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that we are not our own, that we have been bought with a price. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he says, we're going to give an account of everything that we have done in our body. That's a good reminder, folks. You know, our body's not our own. Young people, don't believe what this world tells you. Your body's not your own. Honor God with your body. Give it to Him and live in it in a way that would be pleasing to Him. We see here the scope of our Christian service, that when we're saved, we could go on and read further in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. You know what that means? That means Brother Boyle ought to be a Christian, whether he's standing here preaching to you from the pulpit or whether if he's out on Queen Street somewhere going about his daily business. That means I ought to be a Christian when I greet you coming in the door or greet you going out the door. I ought to be a Christian there, and I ought to be a Christian in my home when I'm dealing with my kids. It means that we ought to be a Christian in church, but we should also be a Christian on the workplace. Why? He said, whatsoever we do, it shows us the scope of our Christian service. Secondly, I'd like you to think about the fact that it shows us the motive for our Christian service. The motive for our Christian service. When I looked out, I was thinking, of course, knowing what I was going to preach, and I was sitting here just looking out at this crowd, this Wednesday night crowd, and thinking, just kind of looking and just nothing specific, but just thinking in general, it's amazing what percentage of people in here are in some way or another actively involved in doing something for the Lord. And you know what? You'd be commended for that. That's a great thing. And you know what? We ought to always think, what more can I do? But for the most part, folks are doing something for the Lord. But you know why we do what we do is as important as what we do. And here it speaks to the motive of our Christian service. I remember the first year we had Youth Fest. Now, some of you, you know, people change, faces change, and some people think we've never had it any other way. But I remember being in a meeting early on. Pastor Townsley had gotten some pastors and area leaders and all, and was talking to them about the idea before any booth had ever been assembled and before anything had ever been done and any template had ever been laid out and any game had ever been. And he was telling us about these people from Michigan, and I think the general consensus in the room was, this is insane. and trying to figure all this out. And then it happened, and I remember this group that had come from Michigan to help us out. They came and they were here in great help. I mean, they showed us how to do it, and then they came back a couple years and kind of helped us along as we built things up. And that first year, it was exciting. It's exciting every year, but that first year was exciting. I mean, we didn't know what was going to happen. And I mean, people came and kids were saved and born again, and it was exciting. And afterwards, one of our students, they were just pumped up and excited about it, and they said something. They were just talking in an excited way about it. And one of the older gentlemen that had come to help us out pulled somebody aside. I don't remember exactly who it was, but they said to him, they said, listen, it's very important that they remember this isn't something that they did. This is something that God did. And you think about it, you think it's fun in games, it's exciting, it's a good thing. But listen, if we're going to do it, we should do it for the glory of God, right? We should do it for His honor and for His glory. Say, well, it's hard, it's difficult. Well, He's worth it. He deserves it. You know, it's possible to do the right things but not do them for the glory of God. Several things can hinder us from allowing God get the glory. There are several things that you could jot down. First of all, there's fleshly expression. You know, the flesh is a difficult thing to deal with, isn't it? These people in Corinth had created an environment around the Lord's Supper that was very fleshly. They were using it in a way to show off. And the Bible talks about it's a problem that we deal with over and over and over again. You know what? If we're not careful, we can act like a Christian in the flesh, can't we? I'll tell you the truth. You can preach in the flesh. That's a sad say. I'm just telling you. You can do it. Because it gets in the way. We like to, look at me and look at that and wow. And we got to be careful about it, though. That gets in the way of giving God the glory. Something else that gets in the way of giving God the glory is ignorance of the Holy Spirit. Not understanding that His presence is needed. Amen. Not understanding that we need His power to help us. And because of the flesh, the Bible calls it a war. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Because of that, no matter what I've found, no matter how long we've been saved, I've been saved a long time. I know a lot of things about the Bible that I've been taught for forever. It doesn't matter, because that war is so strong. If I'm not constantly reminding myself that I need to depend on the Holy Spirit, inevitably I'll start depending on the flesh. But you know what? When I'm dependent on me, God's not getting the glory. But when I'm dependent on the Holy Spirit, He's getting the glory. Have you ever seen, I remember I was teaching some young people, the teens, they have a program and they're on Wednesdays and we're teaching them different things. And I did one just before this about soul winning, teaching them how to lead a soul to Christ. And it made me think about the first person I ever led to the Lord. And I remember he was in jail. And we were preaching to these guys in jail. And I'd witnessed to people before, but I remember this young man on a cot, and he got saved. And it was kind of, I'd given him the gospel, and there were verses that I knew I should know. I had witnessed before. There are verses I knew I should know. I couldn't find them in the Bible. And I could, I didn't, but he got saved. And I went, you go, wow, what was that? It's more like, who was that? The Holy Spirit of God. And in whatever we do, the Holy Spirit's what takes it from being just something we do to something that produces. He's the difference there, and he's the one that allows us to give glory to God. So ignorance of the Holy Spirit, also we can say inconsistent living, leads to God not getting the glory. Look at verse 32. It says, give none offense neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles nor to the church of God. He said, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. And when your life, when you're offending and things like that, there's an inconsistency of life about it. It gets in the way of giving God the glory. The bottom line is this: listen, folks, when whatever we do, he said the scope of it's in anything we do, whatever we do, we should do it for the glory of God. You know why? We should have Sunday school for the glory of God. We should have church for the glory of God. That's a novel idea, isn't it? But we got to remind ourselves that's what it's for. That's why a lot of times churches can go the wrong direction. They forget what it's for. We're here to glorify God and what he does. See him work. We should have Youth Fest for the glory of God, bus ministries for the glory of God, and we should all seek to serve in them for one purpose, and that is so God gets the glory out of it all. So we see the scope of our Christian service, we see the motive for our Christian service, and we see the goal here for our Christian service. He says, whatsoever you do, whether therefore you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Why is that? Well, he and only he is worthy of receiving true glory. I'm nothing. And you know what? If we're honest, none of us are anything. I say it first so you understand. I very clearly understand that's what the Bible says about me. And maybe I'm the one that needs this, but I'm nothing. But what, if nothing can give glory to him, then suddenly what is nothing becomes something. It's an interesting thing. And he's the only one worthy of receiving true glory. Say, well, I didn't get properly thanked. And we should be thankful. We should teach people to be thankful and young people to be thankful. But you know what? There'd be times where we won't get properly thanked. Well, you know what? Make sure God gets the glory for it. He's the one really that's worthy for it. Why should he get the glory? Well, he and only he is able to constantly receive the glory. You know what? You can give him glory whether you're alone or whether you're in a group of people, whether you're on this continent or whether you're on another one far, far away. He knows it if you're doing it for his honor and for his glory. There's things that you do that might be unseen. It might be nobody really recognizes it. Don't get a pat on the back for it, but if God is getting glory for it, he knows about it. Whether he's everywhere, he's at work, he's at school, he's on the playground, it doesn't matter. God is watching and can be glorified. I was telling young people, just the Lord brings these things to your mind when you're talking. It was worked at Sherwin-Williams and was worked for years and years ago, and there was a young man that worked there. He was a Jehovah's Witness. Some of you here have been saved out of that. Understand what that's like. And we tried to witness to him. Me and another guy who was there was a Christian. We tried to give him the gospel. He didn't get saved. He never got born again. Nothing ever happened. You say, did you fail? Well, I believe that we're trying to give God the glory. But you know what happened? A few years later, I got a call. It was actually Brooke Suttles, the guy that we supported up in Maine. He and I worked together at this same place, and I kept up with him over the years. And I was talking to him after I was already up here, I believe it was. And he said, this guy's name, he said he had gone to a meeting at another church in the area, and this guy showed up. He was there. And he was surprised. His name was Brian. He said, what are you doing here? Guy was a Jehovah's Witness. He's at a Baptist church. I mean, you'd ask the same question. You know what Brian told him? He said, I got saved. And he had started, he wasn't just there on a whim. I mean, he had started with some level of faithfulness, at least attending his church. What's the point? Listen, just do what you can do to give God the glory in every aspect of life. And you never know. He gave me a little glimpse there, but you never know the outcome that will be just because you decided, I'm going to give God glory with this next action. There's a missionary on our board where somebody who no one knows left a gospel tract on his car windshield at a shopping mall one day, and he got it and he put it in the back seat of his car, and nobody didn't even think about it. He was cleaning out his car. He read the gospel tract. He got saved. He's now a missionary on that board. It's a, well, how did that happen? Somebody just decided, I'm going to try to glorify God with this action. And God blessed it. And you know what? God knows exactly who it was. He's everywhere. He was in that parking lot when they gave it to him. They might not have received pats on the back and great accolades, but God got glory out of it. And great things happened because of what they did. Now there's a country of people where people are getting saved and ministries are being built. This person may never even know it, but God knows it. Just be willing to give him the glory. He's everywhere. He sees it. He and only he is capable of understanding when we are doing something for his glory. He and only he has a consistent measure by which we can know we are giving him glory. You know, if you try to please people, it's hard to do, isn't it? Why? Because they change all the time. I mean, even stable ones change. You know, honey, I cooked you Brussels sprouts. You used to love them. I hate them now. I mean, you know, everything. I mean, just things change in life. It's hard to please people, even people that we love. But God's given us an unwavering standard of what it takes to give him the honor and give him the glory. It's good when you serve a master who expects the same thing today as he expected yesterday. We might think, oh, I don't know how successful I'm being, but I can pillow my head at night knowing, Lord, I'm doing my best to give you glory with my life. He said, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. There might be somebody here tonight that's very busy doing good things, but are you doing it to give him glory? You probably did at some point, probably do frequently, but we all need to be reminded. I know I do. I know I need to be consistently reminded because, you know what, the Lord's work, no matter where you're at, you might be engaged at the Lord's work at a retail shop or at a fast food restaurant or in an office building, or no matter where you're at and you're interested in the Lord's work, no matter where you're at, it's busy and it all the time gives you something to do. But in the middle of the busyness, don't forget why you're doing it. It's to give God the glory. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day.